There he is, baby.
We're back.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
Finally time. Let's do this, baby.
It's been at least a month, if not longer. Probably closer to 2 months because it's almost September.
It's been way too long.
I think, and I'll just go ahead and start this off because I feel like there's no better place to make an official announcement than on a podcast that no one listens to. Because every time we start one of these off, like I feel like I always like I've been like I prepare stories. It's like that's my favorite part. Yeah. I get to tell stories.
Yeah.
And it's with a heavy heart that I don't have a story this time.
Okay.
And just the culmination of this string of failures and not met expectations has led me to the conclusion that I've given up on love.
Oh my god.
So there it is.
Okay, hold up. I've talked to you once in real life in the last month, and you're going to blindside me with you've given up on love the first 10 seconds we start this thing? What's going on?
So, because I like as even as these string of failures are occurring, it's somehow painfully enjoyable because I get to tell the story out of it. I get the story. And it's just a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work, like getting like talking to these girls that you really don't even want to talk to in the first place, but you're just sick of not talking to anybody, so you talk to them anyway, and then just like knowing it's not going to go anywhere. Like it's just a lot of work, and I'm done. So I think I've explored a lot of my options in all these classes, and
there might
be a couple girls here and there that live at this apartment complex, but I haven't seen that Sydney girl since like I first met her, basically. That's it. She's fallen off the face of the earth.
Oh my gosh.
I think watching the culmination of love in the wedding, that's it for me. So I saw the wedding and I think I'm just going to give up until another wedding. I have another wedding I'm going to back in like March of next year, and I'll re-explore my options then.
Okay. I just don't even know what to say because it's so depressing listening to this kind of decision that you've made. You've given up on the most exciting part of life. What has happened? It's nothing specific. It's just been like kind of like a snowball effect.
I think so. It's just like so I'm going to keep going to Chick-fil-A just because out of habit this time. But nothing's happening there. There hasn't been any success or promises of any sort across the board. So
what if you George Costanza this thing and everything you do the opposite. So instead of going to Chick-fil-A, maybe you go to Hooters. Or maybe you go to Taco Bell. Everything you normally do, you do the opposite. You've seen that episode, right?
Yeah, I have. I need to find a restaurant that's only open on Sundays. And
interesting.
Go there every Sunday.
And they sell fish, not chicken.
Ooh. So on that topic, did you know Chick-fil-A had a 4% price increase?
No way. Are you serious?
4%. Because like this happened like at least a week before the wedding because I went there. And they told me what my total was, and just going there every single day and getting the same thing, I know what my total is supposed to be. I was like,
yeah,
I don't think that's right. And they're like, oh, it is. We had a 4% price increase. I was like, it's so sad. That's not going to affect my decision to come here. I know.
It's a scam. And they know you won't change your habits off 4%.
I know. It's so annoying. But
they won't lose a dime. So – here's what I want to say about the Chick-fil-A's up here in Wisconsin.
Okay, let's see.
There, I've been to one. So maybe it wasn't – maybe this is not all of them, but I've been to one and I haven't been back.
That's
how disappointing it was. I walk in there, and normally you walk into Chick-fil-A, you get like it's a vibe. It's clean.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's shiny. Everyone's really nice. I walk into this thing and there's like trash on the ground. It's kind of dim. It looks kind of run down. I'm like, what is this? Arby's? Like, this is not a Chick-fil-A. So I go up there. There are no girls working. There's like one or two, but they're basically, they're not cute.
They're not your Athens Chick-fil-A.
No, so I take, like, some old guy takes my order, and I'm like, oh, I'll get the number one meal and some nugs. And it just, the glint and, the excitement was gone. There wasn't like, hey, I'm at Chick-fil-A. I was like, ah, this is disappointing. And then I got
That's so depressing.
Chicken. You know when you go, there's certain sandwiches, and you'll get them, once every 4 or 5 months or something. You'll get, the sandwich that is, has the big chunk of fat. and the first bite you take, half of the sandwich comes out, and it's like, what is this? That was the sandwich I had, and I was like, oh, I'm done with this.
Oh, man. I'm okay paying for that extra 4% because I'm paying more for the experience of being in that specific Chick-fil-A than anything else. So I probably wouldn't go back either. It just does not sound like the Chick-fil-A that I love.
I know. It was very disappointing. But okay, so what do you think about the wedding? Thoughts? How was it? Did you have a fun time? I thought it was amazing.
I thought it was great. The it skyrocketed as soon as we were able to go out on the dance floor.
I know. Turn the entire night around. Dude, you were jiving out there.
I was about to say the same for you. I felt like I was looking at a different man. Honestly.
Dude, I really think that the dance floor is nature's most powerful aphrodisiac.
So it's really disappointing then that there was nothing to experiment with because
there were no toys.
Everyone was engaged or dating.
There was no one to play with. It was one of the funniest parts of the entire night was when the clown DJ was like, "All right, all the single ladies out to the floor for the
bouquet man."
And there were two of them out there.
I know, and he was even saying, "Oh yeah, it doesn't matter if you're engaged. It doesn't matter if all that."
I looked at her and I was like, "Of course, this is perfect." He's like, he just starts dying laughing.
My heart went out to Hernley. Hernley was the one that was supposed to find love in here, and this didn't happen.
Well, that one girl that was supposed to be there never showed up for him.
Yeah, never showed. Maybe she saw a picture of him on the internet and just bailed out.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so how's the updates on your Wisconsin girls?
Okay, so the girls, I'll describe it as this. You go from Georgia, UGA, the South in general, to up here. And I was imagining a lot of brunettes, sophisticated, intellectual, smart, funny girls. Everyone in Wisconsin is blonde, but it's not it's a different kind of blonde. It's like a milk maiden, I'm churning butter at night blonde. They're all very, very fair skinned. And I say this legitimately, I have not seen above a 7 in a month. I have not seen I have not seen a girl where I'm just like, oh my gosh, she's gorgeous.
Okay, so how is I don't mean if this comes off as insulting, I'm sorry. How is your social life right now? Who do you interact with? Yeah. Do you actually see random people a lot?
So my social, it's very interesting because it's just weird going somewhere where you don't know a soul. You're just,
oh, I'm sure,
100% on your own. I have hung out with people one time. It was last Friday night, and it was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster. So the only people I know here are the people from work.
Right.
And honestly, they're really cool people, but they all went to these really prestigious colleges, like Notre Dame and a couple people from Berkeley. Everyone's really smart. And what I did know about these really smart people is they're insane. Dude, they're crazy. So I get invited last weekend to a house party, and then we were going to go to some bars afterwards. So we get to this house party. Dude, I can't hang with these people. They're absolute animals. I drove there, so I was like, all right, I'm going to have, like, one beer. These people are, like, just chugging alcohol. I'm like, this is not my crowd. Like, this is not who I like to hang out with. And it was like, I like to have conversations where it's like, you know, you're poking fun with people. You're talking about pointless things. You're having, like fun conversations. Like debates. I like debates.
Yeah, yeah.
I like setting up humorous situations. Well, you know, every single interaction I had at this little party was, like, a 5-second, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like, these people were so drunk. They would say something to me. I'd laugh. And then they'd leave and say the next comment. It was just, like, kind of like a speed dating, but with, like, little 5-10-second conversations. So I was just, like, sitting on this couch, like, what am I doing here? So that was the only, like, that's the extent of my social life right now.
Okay.
The weird thing is, everyone at work is, like, really cool. Like, they're easy to talk to. Everyone's really cool and, like, laid back. But then the second you get outside of work, they're, like, a different
they go crazy.
Species. Yeah, dude. Like, they're wild. And I'm just like, this is not my crowd. So I gotta find my trivia crowd.
You gotta find the trivia. You're still trying to find, like, the social customs of Wisconsin right now.
Exactly. Exactly. So yesterday, I moved out of my first apartment. I'm in my second apartment now.
Okay.
But so yesterday,
yeah,
I went and, like, had to check out and make sure that, like, I didn't wreck the apartment.
Yeah.
And so, like, this 35-year-old guy named Nick, he's the property manager at the old apartment. I had the best conversation I've had in a month with this guy as he's checking, like, inspecting my apartment. We talked for 45 minutes about fantasy. 45 minutes. Like, this guy's 35 years old.
That's great.
I would not be shocked if he hasn't left his mom's basement yet. He doesn't have a girlfriend. But he knows about so much football and fantasy. We talked for 45 minutes. And I was like, this guy might be my best friend so far.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then you had to leave him.
And then I had to leave him. Yep. And so I said, as I left, I said, I'm having a couple fantasy drafts this weekend. I'll drop by on Monday or Tuesday and show you how it turns out. He's like, sounds good, brother. Like, let's go.
Oh, that's great. So how's the new place?
Dude, it's awesome. I highly recommend a studio. It's really, okay. Really cool. So I'm still sleeping on the floor.
Stop.
So that's been going on for a month. I actually really don't mind it at all. Like, I don't.
You're saving money right now.
I'm saving a lot of money. Dude, mattresses are $300. I'm like,
that's
I don't
insane.
Spend that. I don't want to pay off my loans.
I wouldn't either.
So there's like a big part of me that's seriously contemplating just sleeping on the floor until I leave this place, like when I move
for 6 months, yeah,
or at least save you.
That's not a bad option.
Yeah, the only thing that's, like, holding me back is my mom is, like, absolutely jabbing me about it. She's like, "You need a bed. You need a bed. You will not be sleeping on the floor." I'm like, "All right, I might be."
Well, how are you gonna? Because, like, if you're not gonna stay there that long. And especially, like, how are you going to move all that out?
Exactly.
You don't even have
exactly,
the...
Exactly.
So, are you just sleeping in, like, a bunch of blankets, or do you have an air mattress?
No. So, I've made myself a little pallet. So, I've got a big sheet on the bottom is kind of my base, and then a quilt to really give some nice fluff. And then a second sheet, and then I sleep on that underneath a sleeping bag that's unzipped.
Okay. So, it just doesn't sound like you have a whole lot of suspension going on.
Oh, there's no suspension.
But
there's a quilt. That's it. But, dude, so it's – I would – dude, try it out for a week. Just sleep on the floor for a week. I came up here – when I drove up here a month ago, I had, like, thrown my neck out. I've never had such a bad neck, like, kink. And then within, like, 3 or 4 days of sleeping on the floor, just basically on a plank, my spine was rejuvenated. It's really, I recommend it, dude.
The cavemen knew what they were doing all along.
Dude, they did. They really did.
Okay, so I'll look into that once I get my own place, because I can guarantee you I'm not going to drop $300 on a mattress either. Okay, and we'll have to compare notes, because it just doesn't sound like my sort of thing. But maybe it's everybody's sort of thing, and no one knows because we're all using mattresses.
It's the whole mattress industry is a sham. That's all I know.
going specifically off mattresses, I gotta give you a quick update on my job because it's in shambles. It's insane. We had our move in on August 3rd, and then they shipped out two of our managers to different properties. And so the only manager we had for a full week was Ethan's girlfriend Meg, who like just graduated last December. And she doesn't really know what she's doing. She never received any official training in her job, so she's just kind of winging it. So she was the only one there for a week, and then our general manager got back for 2 days and then got shipped out to a different property for a week. Okay. Our other manager had vacation scheduled for the week after that. So then for another 5 days, it was just Meg again. And then the next Monday comes around and our general manager gets back and our other manager gets back. And then she's like, I took another job. So the 31st is going to be my last day. And so we're like, oh man, what a joke. Cause one of the people doing my job quit. There's only two of us now. And now we're losing another manager. And it's just after, like, she's the one that handles all the money. And so all these people complaining about all the charges they had from moving out, they want to talk to her. And we can't do her job at all. So we're like, okay, that's fine. Maybe she'll be able to finish all that up and it'll be fine. And so the next day comes and she says that her daughter's sick. She can't come in. And then the day after that, she calls and says she got in a car wreck. She can't come in.
Oh my gosh, what a liar.
And then after that, she just stops making excuses and doesn't say anything. And so all these people keep calling, and we've been telling them, oh yeah, she'll be in at 9 a.m. the next day. She'll be in at 9 a.m. tomorrow. And she just never came back.
Oh my gosh, dude.
So she hasn't been back since. She was supposed to start. So I don't even know if she ever turned in her keys. But so that happened. We have a closed parking deck, so you have to swipe this gate card, and then the parking gate opens.
Right.
But that's been broken since June. And so we were just kind of playing off like, oh, yeah, we left it open for everybody moving in, and everyone's like, is that ever going to be shut? Is that ever going to be shut? We're like, it's kind of broken right now. We're trying to get it fixed. Game day starts tomorrow, so there's about 20,000 people in Athens looking for parking close to the stadium. We're right there downtown with an open parking deck.
Oh, no, dude.
So that's great.
dude,
we have
put a chair up and just say $10 parking and you just pocket it all.
That's what I was thinking. But I would have been like $25, $50 parking, not 10. But I'm the only one working tomorrow. So dude. I don't know what I'm going to do if people come and, like, complain to me.
Dude, TC, seriously, you should do that. Like, how many spots are there?
We were supposed to have close to, like, 50 or 60 extra spots after everybody moves in. But people have been parking there that haven't been living there, like, for 100% fact and just walking to class. So it's hard to tell how many extra ones we actually have. But I was given the number of a towing company and just told to call them if it gets too crazy. And I mean,
wow.
But so we have that. Did I tell you that story about one of our security guards saying it was okay for people to throw trash off the balcony?
Yes.
Yeah. So did I tell you the story about the same one being like a sexual predator?
Yeah.
Okay. So that guy called again today.
Okay.
And he said he was doing his rounds last night on the third floor, and he came across some people walking out of a storage unit, and he said he walked in there and they had like a TV plugged in on a TV stand and some chairs set up. And so he's pretty sure he was trying to convince us that they were running like a small drug operation out of one of our storage units.
What?
And we were just like, are you sure they just didn't take it and set up a little game pad? He's like, I don't know. It's pretty suspicious. We need to check this out. And we're like, okay, we'll get on it. And then just to top it all off, I had this Asian resident call me yesterday, and she's like, I want to schedule a pest control. And I'm like, okay, they come every Wednesday. What's going on? What do you want them to spray for? And she's like, I'm not really sure, but I just keep finding all these little red bites all over my arms and the back of my neck. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have a bed bug infestation. There's no way. So I was like, yeah, that's so weird. I'll let them know. Maybe they can figure it out. So,
dude, you can't get rid of bed bugs unless you like ventilate the place.
I know. We got like burn the whole place down. Like, but I'm not gonna tell her that.
Have you seen those like houses that have bed bugs? They put like a huge tent around it.
Oh yeah. Like you have to literally get rid of all your furniture, all your clothes, like everything. So, and you know what? This goes back to mattress problems.
Yeah, mattress problems. That's a great mattress
problems.
That's a great dude.
This place is just in shambles.
Yeah, dude. It sounds like an absolute disaster. You've got to get out of there. This is miserable. This sounds awful, man.
But we're about to start a leasing season, and so I'm about to be making like $50 off of every person that signs.
Really?
So that's like, yeah. So I could legitimately, I signed 10 people. Like, that's a ton of extra money just right there.
Dude, that's nice. That's real nice.
I know. So I'm just gonna keep on trucking for now.
So let's actually like evaluate this parking situation, because I think you could make $1,000 tomorrow.
Like, see, the only thing is, I can't leave the office. So, I'm literally the only person working tomorrow. There's no maintenance. There's no managers. There's no other housing consultant, because there's just one of us. So I'll have to be in the office the whole time. Okay, now, people come up and say, hey, can I park here? I mean,
here's what you should do. Here's what you should do. You should call up Nick and say, hey, Nick, get a chair and your safety vest. And make a sign that says $30 parking or whatever you want to charge. And you're going to sit out here in front of this parking deck all day. And we'll split this thing 50-50. If anyone comes to give you any garbage, you say, oh, their office, my manager's in there. And he just referred me to you. And you say, oh, yeah, it's been approved by the property manager.
Yeah. I spent some story about it. Is Nick not going to the game?
I don't know. I don't. No. I don't think he is. He's actually. Oh wait. No. Shoot. He's at home right now.
Well, he can come back and make like $500.
Dude, you could make a killing.
Okay, so completely off topic, but this goes back to that whole kind of talk about nothing debate, because I went grocery shopping like 2 months ago, and this has been on my list to talk about ever since then. It's just getting pushed off.
Okay.
So because you know how they have the labels above the aisles and whatnot. And I was just, I don't even remember what I was looking for, but I saw it say hot cereal. And I was like, what is hot cereal? And it was just an aisle full of oatmeal.
What?
So is oatmeal a cereal?
Oatmeal is 100% not a cereal.
No, it's not a cereal.
No way it's a cereal.
It was oatmeal and it was grits. And I was like, these aren't cereals. How are you marketing this as hot cereal? I was thinking, like, do we have like microwavable Fruit Loops or something? Like, did they invent something new? It's not cereal.
That sounds like you were in like some sort of Asian market and they had trouble translating.
It was the Kroger on Epps Bridge.
Dude, cereal in my mind is like you have to have like actual like separate pieces of something.
Yeah,
it can't be mush,
and it has to be milk.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can put milk in oatmeal.
But you don't associate milk with oatmeal. You associate oats and mush with oatmeal. But I don't know. So that was just very strange to me. I've never heard anyone that's ever called oatmeal hot cereal in my life. And that was what they were marketing the whole aisle as.
That, I think it's a disgrace. I think it's awful marketing. All right, so I got in this conversation with someone a week or two ago. And so we're sitting there at lunch, and they were serving pizza. And so I sit down next to one of my buddies, and he had two slices of pizza. He had eaten both slices up to the crust and then discarded the crust. And I was like, what? You eat the whole pizza except for the crust? What's the point of eating the pizza? And my analogy was, eating a pizza is like going on a treasure hunt. You eat through the cheese and pepperoni, and then you find the chest at the end. And if you throw away the crust, it's like throwing away all the gold. And he said, no, you have it backwards. It's like finding the treasure chest and only keeping the chest. And I was like, what?
That is one of the best counter analogies I've ever heard in my life.
Dude, it was incredible. And it was like off the cuff. Like he didn't think about it at all. I was like, wow, like you're a pretty witty dude.
So where do you stand on this? Do you eat your crust or what?
Okay, so I will say it's highly dependent on first where the pizza's from, and second, if the pizza's hot. I never eat cold crust. I don't think ever.
Annie, you're breaking my heart.
Like, cause like I like the crust, like hot bread is amazing. No matter what it is, if it's hot bread, you love it. But I get to the like, so cold pizza is pretty much okay. I get to the crust. The crust is cold. It's hard. It doesn't have any more of the spice taste on it, and you just stop.
Oh my gosh!
100% of the time, you're eating the crust.
Why would I eat the pizza if I'm not eating the crust at the end? That's what I'm eating it for.
Okay, yeah. So I don't eat pizza for crust either. I feel like the crust to me is almost like, oh wow, and there's crust too. That's cool. But you know, if I don't want it, like I'm not losing anything because I already had my pizza.
The crust,
it's like dessert almost.
But just think about like the physical way you eat a pizza. You start at the bottom and it slowly widens. You have to work harder and harder and harder and harder until you reach the goal. You conquer all of it. You put in all the work and then you throw away the reward.
I don't know. The crust is very enjoyable depending on how much sauce there is at the end. Like if there's a lot of pizza sauce back there, like some backed up cheese all over the crust, then I'll go to town on it. But if there's not a lot of sauce back there, if it's just pretty dry bread, not that warm, it's going in the trash.
This is very disappointing. This is very disappointing to me. So
I can't believe we never noticed that considering how often we went to Mello and Johnny's.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's true. I didn't know you were one of them. That's sad.
One of them.
So this conversation leads us to a similar conversation, which was about peanut butter and jelly. And he said that he doesn't eat the crust of PB&J, but he doesn't buy the Uncrustables either. So he just eats around the crust of a normal sandwich. I said, blasphemous.
So are you telling me right now that you're a fan of crust on sliced bread?
Now, I'm not. This is not like pizza for me. I'm not eating the PB&J to get to the crust.
Okay.
On a PB&J, but again, it's the way it's laid out. The crust is on the outside. So it's almost like an initial barrier you have to break to get into the gold inside.
I'll agree with that. It's like a rose bush. There's those thorns on the outside and inside is just this beautiful rose.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I mean, like, I'll tell you right now, I'll take that first bite and I'll do everything in my power to make sure I don't have to take another bite of the crust.
Say that again?
Like, I will take that first bite of the crust just to break through, and then I'm around it as close to the edge as I can get without getting my teeth on that crust. It's just so gross.
So you're telling me you don't eat the crust other than the initial puncture?
Yes.
So logistically, how does this work? You make one big bite.
Okay. Yeah, no. So you make one big bite. And like as close as you can to getting as much crust out of the way. And then preferably I just go to the right. I don't know why, just in my mind, like you start biting to the right, kind of along the edges, and just kind of make your own circle around the crust. And then once you like can get to where you can peel it off without getting rid of any actual good part of the sandwich, you can just like grab the middle, grab the corner, then grab the top end that you missed at the beginning. And then you're set.
So you're swiping right on a PB&J is what you're telling me.
Yeah, basically.
But this is sad, TC. You're missing out on all the nutrition.
I never realized how important the crust issue was to you.
The vitamins, the minerals, it's all in the crust.
I don't think that's true.
No, that's a scientific fact.
Okay, so why then is the description crusty a negative term?
In what context? In the sandwich context?
If I call an old guy, oh man, that guy's pretty crusty. Obviously, it's an insult. It means it's disgusting. It means it's not very pleasing. And it goes back because that originated from the crust on bread.
Well, when I have a scab, it's also crusty, and that's one of the most pleasurable things to do is pick off a scab.
I agree. So one of the most pleasurable things you can do is pick off a crust.
Oh, dang it.
I mean, yeah. So glad we ended on the same page there. Okay, so are we, like, there's been so much football on. It's very hard to tell where to start. Do you have anything you wanted to cover before we get into that?
No, let's go into the football. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, so let's start this off with a little bit of breaking news. Breaking news. And this is coming from our very reliable source, Arnav Charian. The Browns are making a run at Khalil Mack.
No way.
That is as of 30 seconds ago.
We really broke that.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's amazing.
That is hot off the press.
Okay. So that would legitimately give them arguments for, I mean, I think for the best defensive line in the NFL. Or no, probably third, fourth.
Wow, dude. I mean, they would get after the pass rusher like no one else in the league.
Because I really think Garrett, he's going to take a huge second step this year.
Oh, I agree.
So that would be because I was like just kind of thinking about that because, you know, the whole thing came out. They want two first round picks, which is basically saying we don't want to trade him at all. And obviously they don't want to. But I mean, last I saw him and Gruden still hadn't talked.
So I think
trading him has to be their next option. There's no way that you just don't want to have to pay him if he's not going to play. So I was thinking the Packers just got two first round picks. I mean, Khalil Mack and Clay Matthews would be – I mean, that would really help out y'all's defense. But the Browns were someone I really didn't think were going to give up their picks that easily, especially after they're finally in a rebuilding phase. Having some more draft capital to build on that would be great for them. But, I mean, they got the money to pay him, so I guess not.
I mean, this is very interesting. This is – like, I'm in the camp right now where I'm secretly holding out hope that the Packers get Khalil. Because I think we would win the Super Bowl. I really do.
To be fair, you think you're going to win the Super Bowl anyway without him, right?
Oh, yeah, we're winning it. We're winning it all this year.
Because my top three were probably going to be the Packers. I think the Jets could be in very strong contention if we could have the draft capital. Because we have boatload. The Browns were up there, but I didn't actually think they were a realistic possibility, but that's great.
If they get him, they're gonna be like eight, nine wins probably, like legitimate. Yeah,
that would really kick off the season, man. Because I haven't seen people talk about this as much, and I don't know anymore. Like, everyone that I ever talked about football with is just gone from Athens now. And so no one seems as astounded as I am about this story. But Michael Kendricks was prosecuted and arrested and is going to serve 8 to 12 months in prison for insider trading.
Yep. What an idiot. What a that moron. Is,
like, I saw the headline on Reddit and I was like, what? Wait, what? And just reading that whole story was absolutely insane. And it's not 100% like I understand he didn't really – kind of understand the legal stuff behind what he was doing, but that means he shouldn't have been doing it. And it was just
give me the details of the story, because I didn't actually read it. I just saw it.
So I read Reddit has this thing where they condense the article down into just some like 3 or 4 paragraph highlights. So that's what I read. I didn't click on the full thing either. He had his agent whoever his partner was in him that was basically telling him where to put the money, how to spend it. He was purchasing a bunch of tickets for the main thing that came up and how the FBI got him was for these Eagles tickets he had purchased. And he was purchasing the tickets and doing some stuff and selling them for certain prices that wasn't legal. But beyond that, he was doing a bunch of side betting on games and stuff about that for connections with coaches and players that he shouldn't have been using to bet money. Which is obviously in the NFL's like player conduct stuff too.
Oh my gosh, what an idiot!
So, Yeah, and I think the Browns would have kept him if, like, the feds had gotten a little bit easier on him. But, I mean, he's getting 8 to 12 months in prison, so – because he's not a bad player. I mean, and getting Khalil Mack to replace him, like, that'd be huge too, so.
So he was betting, like
– Yeah, he made close to $3 million off of all this trading stuff he was doing.
Because he knew, like, the coaches and they could like, hit the line that he needed or something like that.
Yeah. Like, that the guy was specifically using his knowledge from playing in the NFL to tell him where to put the bets, which was made it insider trading. so it was really just kind of the most – it was such a strange story, because that almost never happens, or at least we never hear about it happening. Anyone gets caught. So I thought that was, like, just a great storyline, and especially that happened to the Browns just made it even better.
Okay, so – in the preseason, who do you think looks good? Who looks horrible? What have been your surprises?
Oh, my gosh. So, one that, and, like, he wasn't really a sleeper for me because I wasn't super high on him in college. But just based off his situation and, like, some of the highlights I'd seen, was Ronald Jones for the Bucks. I thought, because I'm not high on Peyton Barber, I thought Ronald Jones was a good enough back to just come in there and kind of at least be a mediocre NFL back. And the Bucs O-line isn't great, but did you see his stats for the whole preseason?
He sucks.
It was 28 carries for 22 yards.
He sucks, dude. It's
yeah.
It does not look
It was not Tampa. Pretty. Nope. So that was honestly surprising to me. I like that's hard to do to be that bad. you got anybody specific?
I'm looking at, I think Chris Carson looks phenomenal.
Yep. Yeah, that's another one for me.
I'm very high on him. I think Baker looks really good.
Baker does look good. I think Carson and Russell Wilson are going to be pretty much. Have you seen all this stuff about Doug Baldwin?
Yeah, with his knee?
With his knee. He said he doesn't think he's going to be 100% healthy at all this season. And that really, really sucks because he's that fourth, fifth round wide receiver you really go to. And you know, like, I'm getting a lot out of Doug Baldwin for his ADP.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take him with that, especially with how bad the O-line is going to be. But, I mean, hopefully Chris Carson, because he's, like, that good all-around, you know, three-down receiving back. Like, he can produce a lot, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. Let's talk about the Seahawks a little more on our bold predictions, because I've got some thoughts on that.
Okay. But real quick, I want to throw in one name that also I'm very, very happy, surprised with, incredibly biased, but Sam Darnold.
Oh, yeah, dude. He looks great. He's going to be good.
Sam Darnold looks great. He is going to be our official week one starter. And it is a new age in New York. I am so excited to watch. I'm pretty sure it's Monday night opener against the Lions. So
good, dude.
I'm so excited for this. Did you see Teddy's story when he left?
I saw he got traded for a third rounder. I didn't see what he said or anything.
Yeah, so he got traded for the third rounder, which, like, I think he's probably going to be at least a viable NFL starting quarterback for the next couple of years. But we signed him for $500,000. Getting a third round pick out of that, it's not a bad trade.
Oh, it's basically free.
But so yeah, it's basically free. So he. They told him right before the bus was taken off for our last preseason game, and he went back on the bus, said goodbye to everybody, and then bus drove off. And I was just like, oh, man, he's such a good guy.
Yeah.
So
you can't not like Teddy. You just can't not love him.
You can't not like Teddy. So I think it's a good trade for the Saints, too, to try to grab somebody to have a contingency plan for Breeze.
I do, too, dude. Like, he'll learn a lot with Breeze there. I think he'll be good.
He will.
Yeah.
And if Breeze goes down, like, the rest of the Saints are good enough. Teddy's good enough. They're still a contender.
Yeah, smart move by them. Very smart move. The only dumb thing that they did was not grabbing him a couple months ago without having to give up the draft capital.
Yep. Well, yeah, because I saw another article came out. The Dolphins wanted to sign Teddy, but Teddy wanted a $15 million contract. So that's what we gave him, with most of it coming from incentives.
Right,
they didn't want to give him that. So I guess the Saints are probably doing the same thing. But
okay.
Yeah, let's go. All right. So what you got for the Seahawks?
All right. So do you want to get into our bold predictions? You just want to kick it off?
Yeah, you go. You go with yours first, because I want to make sure ours isn't the same.
All right, so my bold prediction for the Seahawks is I've had a kind of a little revelation. So this is okay. Not in line with where I was a month ago. I have definitely pivoted. My bold prediction.
Okay, I'll see.
Bold prediction one. Seahawks win the division by 2 games.
My goodness. That's what changed your mind?
It's partly I'm anti St. Louis. I think they're okay. Overblown. I think they're a disaster.
Which is fine. I understand that.
I think Garoppolo might be overhyped.
Okay.
Like every time I watch Garoppolo, he's throwing wobbly balls. And that is never a good sign. So, and then it's just like, I'm looking at Russell Wilson and I'm thinking to myself, this is one of the best quarterbacks I've ever watched play.
Yeah, I completely agree.
If I look at all the quarterbacks I've seen play in my era, I might put him at 3. He's that good in my eyes. Like, he carries.
He's amazing.
I find it hard to bet against him, even though they lost all the talent. It's total disaster.
Same.
Pete Carroll's a fool. I still hate him. But with Chris Carson there, who maybe can take a little pressure off him. And they still got Bobby Wagner. Griffin at corner is, I think he's legit.
Yeah.
They
lost KJ Wright.
Yep, they did. They've got
KJ Wright.
Sheldon Richardson they have. They just signed another D tackle, I believe. I think
Earl Thomas is still holding out.
Earl's still holding out. I think and it's also one of those things where it's like every time everyone says something, it's never right. And everyone's saying they're going to have a big drop off. And now that's where I always have my flag go up and I'm like, hold up.
No, I know what you mean.
So bold prediction, Seahawks win it by 2 games.
Okay. So my prediction's different about the Seahawks, because that was one of mine too. And like my heart, I have absolutely loved Russell Wilson since Wisconsin. I thought he was going to be a great NFL quarterback, and it's pretty much like my only really claim to stake is that I called how good he was going to be. That's it.
Okay.
And like he is single-handedly carrying this team for the past almost 4 years, basically.
He's a wizard, dude.
But just with how the Rams offense and the Cardinals offense lines up against the Seahawks, they don't have nearly as good as a run defense as they have had. I still don't know what happened to Sheldon Richardson ever since his like year, 2 years ago in New York, but he hasn't been a good run stopper. He hasn't been a good pass rusher. It's why he ended up getting traded. Earl's still holding out. KJ Wright's gone. They have a linebacker with one hand. Like, I don't see how – like, I completely think they'll be competitive in all their division games and definitely steal a couple games, probably against the Cardinals and the Niners. But I hate to bet against Russell Wilson, but it's a lot like with what happened with Green Bay last year. Aaron Rodgers went out, and the Packers were pretty terrible. Okay. Without Russell Wilson – I don't see how the Seahawks don't get the first pick in a draft next year. And so wow. I'm calling them a 5-win team at best.
Wow, dude. This is interesting that we both went Seahawks, but just totally
different
end of the spectrum.
Yeah. So I really like Chris Carson, but I mean, he's got a pretty bad injury history already. And with just how bad the offensive line is, and how much I think he'll probably end up getting the ball, I don't see him lasting all season either.
Wow. This
but
is
gonna be that, fun. That's cool.
This is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I like it. Okay, so here's my next one. And maybe this one isn't that bold, but I'm going to say it anyways. Steve Sarkisian doesn't make it to October.
That one. What were your thoughts behind it?
Behind the Sark one?
Yeah.
He is such an idiot in my head. Every time I see him up in the box, he's got his hat on backwards. he's a drunk on the sideline. He's doing jet sweeps on the 1 yard line. He can't get Julio the ball in the red zone. They drafted Calvin Ridley, so he has no more excuses. I don't think he's getting it done. It won't happen. And they have such a good roster. They have such great talent on that team. They may have the best, most talented, deep roster in the league. And if he's at the helm and they're scoring 6 or 10 points a game, he's out of there. They've scored, I don't know what they scored last night, but before last night in 3 games, they had 20 combined points.
Yeah, they were one of, the 3 teams in the NFL that didn't hit over 28 in any of their games.
I mean,
it was 28 or 22, yeah. So I completely agree with you. I think if they're not averaging over 25 points through their first 3 games, that he's fired. Because literally there's no reason, like, they proved 2 years ago with the same personnel they can be the best offense in the NFL. So I am all about that. Okay. So my second one, and I don't like, cause I was trying to remember what all my predictions were for my championships, like a month and a half ago, whenever we were talking about that, and to make sure I tried to stay a little bit consistent, but I keep flip flopping on the Giants and I don't know why specifically.
Okay.
I feel like I've been calling them to have their year for the past 3 years because I just know they're that team that's going to come out and absolutely blow up the NFL and then just go back to being trash next year. So I'm calling them as a top 3 offense this year.
Jeez, dude. Top 3 offense.
Top 3. So they're playing Jags week 1, right? And I don't know if it's a bold prediction to call them to win that game or not, but I'm really feeling pretty good about their chances to win that game. They have Odell, who is, you know, top 3 wide receiver in the NFL. They have Saquon, and that's really the only kind of red flag I have is I'm putting a lot on a rookie running back who hasn't proven anything yet, but I'm really high on him. I think he's really going to open up the offense. Evan Ingram, a tight end who can run a 4.4. It's a matchup nightmare. We both like Evan Ingram. I know you do.
I do. I do. I like him a lot.
They have, I keep wanting to say Reuben Randall. It's not Reuben Randall. It's
Sterling.
Sterling Shepard, yeah. Sterling Shepard. I think he's, you know, a really good number 2 slot guy that just kind of takes a little pressure off Odell. Okay. Eli isn't terrible yet, and hopefully with Saquon taking pressure off him, Odell's back, he's going to produce a lot better numbers than he was last year. And they've had, just specifically for the Jags game, they've had a full year to look at the Jags tape. They have their person. They definitely, I think, have the personnel to match up with the Jags. So, I just really, really feel like Odell's going to have a really good year. I think Saquon's going to have a really good year for rookie running back. And Evan Ingram's had a full year, and the tight ends always get better after second year, after they're done with their rookie year.
Yeah.
So I'm really feeling good about the Giants' offense this year.
Okay. I mean, I like them a lot. I don't know about the interior offensive line. Everything
that's
else
the only
is
concern
solid.
I have too.
Like if their interior offensive line can open up holes for Saquon, I'm with you.
Yeah. So and also like if they go out there, like they cannot be a ground and pound offense. They don't have the offensive line for it. Yep. So if they can just, you know, kind of keep it short passing game, quick screens outside, like I think they'll be a lot better, but I that's what I'm calling right now.
Okay. I like it, dude. I like that one. That's very interesting. I could definitely see it happening. Okay. My third bold prediction. Josh Allen throws for more interceptions than the other first round quarterbacks combined.
All on board with that. All on board with that.
I don't even think that one needs an explanation.
No.
I mean, if you saw game 3 of the preseason and how horrible he looked.
Yeah. There was, he basically, by default, won the starting job in Buffalo now with AJ's injury. Not that it really looks – I don't understand how – like, I really don't understand why they weren't putting AJ in a starting spot. I really feel like they drafted Josh Allen, didn't really care that they'd already signed AJ to a pretty decent contract. Yeah. They wanted their guy now. So, but they're getting him, put him straight into the fire. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you.
It's going to be a disaster.
Okay, my third one. And just because the Dolphins are such a very, very strange team.
Okay.
And I don't like making this prediction, but I feel like it's just one of those like dark feelings, like, I know it's going to happen. And okay. So I think Ryan Tannehill becomes a QB1 in fantasy.
What?
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Okay. So I really like, all right, so a little biased about Kenyon Drake because he was in Alabama, but he proved he could be a viable starting running back at the end of last year.
That I agree with.
Yeah. So I like Kenyon Drake. They have this other guy, I think his name is Barbridge or Bearbridge, who his rookie. He looks pretty good. I've been watching a few preseason games because I like Drake. He's just not – he can't be an every down back. He's got too much injury history for that. Okay. So having them as a 1-2 punch I think is really going to help. Their O-line is not terrible. It's actually pretty good. They have a lot of consistency there.
Okay.
They have – I mean, I know they lost Landry, but Devontae Parker is not bad. And him and, you know, Tannehill showed a really good connection when they played in the preseason last year that they never got to see his and Tannehill tore his ACL again. And I don't think Tannehill's going to run nearly as much. I think he's going to have to sit there and throw in the pocket. And I just feel like he's going to come back on the scene and prove something because he's going to go up against a Jets secondary twice a year that still isn't very good. He's going to go up against a Bills secondary that's now pretty bad. And, I mean, the Pats are the Pats, so it's hard to tell. But the Dolphins don't have a very hard schedule. So I'm feeling pretty good about him.
Gosh, dude, I don't see it. I think he's an absolute waste of talent. He's a bust in every sense of the word. I will never take him in fantasy, ever. He's on my blacklist.
He's on my, like, I'm not taking him, but I just have that feeling about it. Because, I don't know.
Dude, if you're right about that one, I need to, like, buy you something. Because that would be incredible if you hit that one on the head.
Oh,
wow,
man.
Dude, wow. All right, I have one bonus one for you.
Okay.
Just for the whole, Shaquem Griffin will be wearing a hook by the end of the season.
I love it. Okay. I don't understand how, because you have to have some sort of sense of humor having one hand for that long. Like, something like that has to happen eventually. So, let's definitely be on the lookout for that in the future.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Okay, TC. So, let's transition now into maybe a little bit of pop culture, maybe some movies. I've got a question for you.
Okay.
What do these people have in common?
Ooh,
Macaulay, I love this. Macaulay Culkin, Lindsay Lohan, Amanda Bynes, and the Yodel Kid.
You had me until the Yodel Kid. All of them are insane child stars that have sort of almost recovered their lives. Although I'll admit, I'm not too sure about the Yodel Kid. Was that close at all?
I think that the Yodel Kid is headed down a dark, scary path.
Okay. Okay. I like where this is going.
I saw a video of him. I mean, this is like 2-3 weeks now ago. But it was like an Instagram video where I could, like, he was turned to the camera. And he was doing, like, that fake, like, make-out thing where he had his, like, hands on his own back and, like, rubbing his neck. And I thought, this kid's, like, 8 years old. He sang at Coachella. Bieber's, like, one of his friends. This is not going to end up well at all.
Nope.
He's gonna be in juvie when he's 15 or 16 on drugs. Book it.
He's gonna drown in attention. Okay, that's a good call. I like the throwback to Macaulay Culkin too. He's one of the first big child stars. Not a whole lot of people remember Went Dark.
Dude, go watch the Macaulay Culkin Joe Rogan interview from like a week ago. It's like an hour and a half, 2 hours. He's one of the weirdest guys I've ever listened to talk. It seems like he's just like high on cocaine with every word he says. He doesn't shut up. He's like a motor mouth. And he talks about like the weirdest things. It's weird, man. He's a weird dude.
He's a weird dude. Okay, so this is, I mean, I guess it's still a little football related, but like college football starting. Starts tomorrow.
Okay.
And like you see it in the NFL, but and I don't know how much college football you watch. Something the media is absolutely like gung-ho about is giving a player a nickname after about one game. And like, I mean, it happens every season. There's been so many, but they usually don't stick because everyone in college football is usually pretty bad. But I feel like the age of nicknames is over. I think it had a good run. It was a great time. There's a lot of good players there, but it's just not a thing anymore. Right?
I don't know, dude. I think they're still living large.
Really?
Teddy Two Gloves. Sloppy okay, Sleeves so, Bradford. I mean, these are iconic nicknames.
It's iconic nicknames. Okay, so now this brings me back to another point. Like, was there all these nicknames that existed for players in other times and we just didn't know about them because those players actually weren't any good? And so their nickname didn't survive with their legacy. Because, like, we all remember Mean Joe Green, The Fridge, like.
Yeah, Billy White Shoes.
No one's going to. No one's, Johnny Football might stick around. It's hard to tell. But, like, there's not really a current player who's got, like, a name. And it's going to be like, oh, yeah, that guy. Megatron is the last one I can think of.
Let me think. We have, does the GOAT count?
AD,
is that a nickname?
I don't think so. I think it was, and then now it's just getting applied to everybody. It's hard to tell.
Okay.
But if you want to go, I mean, I guess LeBron's the king, but.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe for like, some reason, like social media, there's like too many voices now, so you can't decide on one or something. I don't know.
I think what happened is, you know, like there was all these players and if they were really good, they got their nickname and people knew them by their nickname. And then somewhere the media caught up to what, you know, the fans were nicknaming the players and they wanted to nickname everybody. And so now nobody has a nickname.
Very interesting observation.
Thank you.
Do you remember Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
Yes.
He had one of the best nicknames still. Like, it's one of my favorites. The Law Firm.
Where did that come from?
Just because his name is so long. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, The Law Firm.
I never heard that.
Oh, are you serious?
No, I never heard that.
Oh, dude. That was, like, every single year in fantasy, you'd be like, oh, pick The Law Firm. And I was like, sweet, good pick.
See, I didn't actually get into fantasy until about, like, ninth grade, which was probably, like, the twilight years of his career. And so I didn't have actually no idea who he was until I had to, like, his name kept coming up in fantasy, like, Ben Jarvis Greenhouse. But that makes sense to me, now that you say that.
It's a great name. And I guess you wouldn't have known Marion the Barbarian, the third.
I remember Marion Barber, yeah?
They used to call him Marion the Barbarian.
Never heard that either.
I didn't know you didn't play fantasy for a while.
Yeah, no, because like I didn't know, like I never even heard of fantasy football until ninth grade. Brian Myers got me in his fantasy league.
Okay, how are you feeling about the draft this weekend?
Oh, so Sunday I'm feeling pretty good about especially because it's PPR. I'm eighth round pick. Like I think I'll be fine. There's a lot of like solid receiving backs, wide receivers right there at my pick that I'll be okay with. Now, I do notice that there has been a trade sitting in your inbox for a while there.
I am not accepting a trade. I am
refusing. Oh my gosh.
I'm refusing it so disrespect. Hard. If you want me to accept the trade, you've got to offer me something I cannot resist.
Did you ever at least consider it?
No, I looked at it and I laughed. I looked at it and I laughed.
That's fine. I just like sending trades out. It's just such a thrilling feeling. And then just sitting there picking all those draft picks, I was just enamored. I was like, but that's fine.
You have the 8th pick, right?
I have the 8th pick in Arnav's and no, I have the 8th pick in ours and the 7th in Arnav's. That's what it was.
Here's what I can do for your 8th pick or even your second round 8th pick, whichever you prefer. I can give you some big draft capital for the next 2 years if you want.
See, Nick offered me a pretty interesting trade that I'm still considering. And part of it is like I have to have self-control here, because if I just get sucked into my trade addiction, I might screw up my team forever. And so like I have to be very careful.
But
like where I'm at right now, especially because I have 2 back-to-back picks, sacrificing one for, you know, probably what's just going to end up being a wide receiver or a running back that I'm not too high on anyway, for some future capital, is the worst decision in the world, I don't think. But I just have to – I really have to sit down. I'll be at work all this weekend just sitting down and trying to figure out my fantasy plan.
Okay, let me just make you a quick offer and you can mull it over.
Okay, let's hear it.
So you have the – okay, yeah, so you've backed that pick. So either one of your picks, whichever one you – probably, I guess, the second one. I will give you my first-round pick next year and the following year. If you give me your second round, first pick in the second round.
I'll have to think about it. And okay. I might have a counter too. Because okay. I have a draft plan that's like it's like in my mind, I'm letting it simmer and build on its own without trying to think about it too hard. But okay. there's a couple ideas there and I might be able to work something out. But okay. We'll see. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you wanna get into our Mount Rushmore?
Let's do it, baby. I'm excited for this one.
I am too. So I do have some bad news that, and not being a regular Mount Rushmore or every year, like I'm not putting the blame on either of us, but apparently Mount Rushmore season ended last week. So I feel like just because we had that hiatus that was beyond our control, I feel like we should be able to extend it till next week, because I have another really good one for our next podcast that I've already planned out. I really have to do. Maybe we can figure out some way to rename the Mount Rushmore so we can keep up something similar to this.
I love this part of the episode so much. I think we need to keep it going. If we need to rebrand, we can rebrand to appease the Mount Rushmore. Guys,
yes.
But
I think so. I think we'll rebrand, but like, because this is a lot of fun. Okay. So,
okay.
All right. Mount Rushmore of movie endings. Okay.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. So my first one, and I have some backups, so because I figure we probably at least hit one or two of the same ones.
Okay. Smart move.
Yeah. The Prestige.
Okay.
I don't see how there's no way you can't put this on the list.
I do not have it on the list.
What? This isn't on your – did you at least consider it?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely considered. All okay. the Nolan movies okay. were considered.
Yeah, same. And I limited myself to one Nolan just because they're all great. But
that's exactly what I did too.
The way the twist happens at the end, he's a twin the whole time. That guy is literally cloning himself. And, like, you never see it coming. The whole planning that went into the whole movie to build up to that moment – with the music going on, you know, Michael Caine's narration, it's just brilliant.
Okay. No, I mean, if I didn't pick the other Nolan movie that I have, it definitely would have been up there. Like, I definitely okay. considered it. So that's a very good pick. Very good pick.
Okay.
Okay, so my first one
is I had to go classic Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, that was on my list too.
I had to do it. It's just too iconic to not put on the list. I mean, Luke, I am your father. I mean, I don't even have to make an argument for it. It's probably the most well-known line in any movie.
Yep.
It was a huge shocker back then. It is such a great, great ending. It had to be on the list. I couldn't live with myself if I didn't put it on there.
Yep. I really had to, like, it took a lot of introspection not to put that number one over Prestige for me. Okay. I love you, I know. Oof. My number two, and there's a lot of bias that goes into this, but my number two is La La Land.
Okay. Right now. Okay. I thought about it.
Really? Because the ending is what makes that movie. It's a good movie. The ending happens. It's a spectacular movie.
I totally agree.
The whole dream goodbye sequence song that Ryan plays on the piano, and then it fades out, and then they just look at each other.
Dude, and then that, it's over. That look he gives her, it absolutely is the cherry on top of that movie. It's one of the best facial expressions in any movie I've seen. Like, it's just,
it says so much so perfectly. Like, it's great.
I mean, the first time I saw that, I was like I had that weird feel in my stomach. I was like, that was awesome. That was so cool. That's a great pick, sir. I am applauding you for that one. Beautiful, beautiful.
All right, let's hear it.
My second one is Interstellar.
That was what I was competing with there for my prestige pick. I like it.
I've never been in a movie where there's a scene and I'm just absolutely mind blown when he's back behind the bookcases in the fifth dimension or whatever, and he's giving signals to Murr in her bedroom. That scene is one of my favorite scenes in any movie ever. It absolutely tied the entire movie together. It was, I never saw it coming, and it was so profound and deep that I'm still wrapping my head around it 4 or 5 years later.
Yeah. And I mean, just all the emotion that ties into that too, with her realizing her dad never abandoned her. I love that line he says to what's her name, Amelia, when he, like, she's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Newton's third law. You gotta leave something behind." And then
he shoots off.
He shoots off.
Dude, I mean, I get goosebumps thinking about the ending of that movie.
I really want to watch that again now, just thinking about it.
It's so good. It's so good.
Okay. My number three, Usual Suspects.
No, I knew you were going to put that one on there, so I didn't pick it. I was like, all right, Usual Suspects is definitely TC's.
Yeah. That's why I had my alternates, because I knew we were going to come up with the same movies. I just wasn't sure what was going to go where, so I had Usual Suspects on there. It's really
classic.
It's classic. It's not one of my favorite movies. But just the very first time I saw it, the endings always stick with me. Like, I don't know how, is it even PC to have this on this list with everything that's happened with Kevin Spacey?
Who cares?
Yeah, you're right. But just the reveal that he is Kaiser Sose the whole time, it's great.
It really is. That was a shocker. I love the movies where it's like, what's going on? And then the big reveal is like, wow, never saw it coming. I mean, they're so fun. Which leads me into my third one. It's kind of similar. It's not one of my favorite movies, but it's such a great ending. The Sixth Sense.
Yes. Yes.
The first time I saw that movie, never saw it in a million years. Did not see it coming.
It's that one just kind of – I really didn't see this movie until I think maybe 9th or 10th grade. But it's that historic ending is just what you hear. Like, you already know how it gets referenced so many times. But even knowing how it's going to end, when the moment actually happens, it's still so powerful.
It is. That's one of those movies where, like, you watch it again and every little line in that movie is a little bit of a clue.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
every time he's like screaming at his wife and she won't answer, like it's perfect. It's really
it's hard for me not to think that. And I don't know which one came out first, whether Prestige or Sixth Sense. I think it was probably Sixth Sense that.
Yeah, Sixth Sense.
They didn't watch how they built that movie, because they're both very similar in the way that they build that big moment up throughout the movie with Len's dialogue or the way a certain scene is shot, just kind of letting you know what's happening the whole time without you realizing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, my last one, and the way, like, I went this, like, all right, what movies have a really, really good ending, not whether they're my favorite movie or not. And so I landed on Monsters, Inc. It is on my Mount Rushmore. You have the whole movie is about Sully and Mike's best friend relationship, and they go through their whole betrayal and, you know, re-friendship period under the lights of Mount Everest with the Yeti. And they get back, you know, Mike finally accepts little Boo, and then they have to send her away. And then you get to the whole ending. They've restructured Monsters, Inc. Sully is finally finding his peace without Boo. And Mike has put together the pieces of that door with his bare hands.
Aww.
Just for his beautiful friend. It's like, it's just so touching.
You're a clown. Oh my god.
Listen, that was like, it was the next thing that popped into my head. Like, I couldn't stay away from it.
I mean, how can I bash you for including Monsters, Inc.? It's an all-around likable movie.
I agree.
I mean, you basically put yourself behind a shield and you're untouchable. I like it, dude. It's very bold and confident of you. I like it.
Thank you.
My last one is, I don't know. I'm going to have to argue for it. So here it is.
Okay.
The Karate Kid.
Let's
discuss it. Let me lay out my argument. The ending scene is so fun. Every single time I watch it, I get amped up. The music's amazing. He sweeps the leg. You get Bobby Brown back there yelling, "Get him a body bag." Miyagi's rubbing his hands together, going like mojo magic, fixing a torn ACL. And then the swan kick to the face of Johnny Lawrence, the baddest man in town. And then just the way the movie physically ends, how it's like, it builds up. He wins, and then 15 seconds later, the movie just is over, and it freezes, and the music takes it out. Every single time is amazing. It is such a great ending. It's an all-time ending. I love it, and it has to be up there for me.
It is a very classic 80s ending. Because I hate it when people point this out, but he cheated to win because he hit him in the face. But
I don't want to hear your garbage. That,
no, that's fine. That's I understand. Hey,
that's a
you listen. You were good enough not to attack my Monsters, Inc. I'll be good enough not to attack your Karate Kid. mostly because I don't want to get hit with the swan or the crane. but okay, so I'll just go ahead and throw this in there.
Throw honorable mention.
So I only had one more, and it was Stand By Me. You seen it?
Never seen it.
You've never seen it? Oh, man. Okay, so it's a little rundown. The whole movie is about this like 30, 40-year-old guy is telling the story about from when he was a kid. He starts out like, he says, "You never have the best friends that you had when you were 12, which is a great line. And it's about this guy and his three friends. It's very like the you watch Stranger Things, right?
I've only seen one episode.
What?
I've only seen the first episode.
Okay. We'll come back to that sometime. it's like one of the most classic 80s films. And they're about it's about them looking for a dead body. They hear this rumor there's a dead body in the woods. They want to go find it. They're 12 years old. They want to find this cool dead body. And it's just – it's very, very Goonies-esque. And he, it's about like him and this guy, just his other kid friend, just, you know, becoming best friends, learning about each other, just doing great stuff. And then he's telling this story, cuts back to the present, and he's talking about how this guy just died last week from trying to stop a knife robbery. And wow. Like, it's just, it's such a, like, it's hard to explain it. You watch it, you just know how you could just feel like the ending.
Okay. I'll take your word for it, dude. It sounds like a really good movie.
It really is.
I want to throw one more in, too.
Okay, let's hear it.
Toy Story 2.
Oof, yeah.
In the airport. When I was a kid, watching them, like, run through the suitcases and in, like, the baggage claim, and then riding the horse on the runway was dope. And that's all I have to say.
It was great. Chasing down the plane. I mean, you can even throw in Toy Story 3.
Yeah, you could.
Okay, so we'll have one more Mount Rushmore next week, and then we'll have to rebrand it. Okay. What's your thing? You got anything else before we head out of here?
I am good. How about you?
Yeah, I think I'm good. It's
okay, cool.
And so, like, I've been keeping a list of all the football stuff just to talk about for the past month and a half. I know. And then by the time we finally got to it, I'm like, oh, this is old news. This is old news. This is old news.
Exactly. But next week we'll have depending on when we do our next episode, we might be 1 week in.
I know. So let's actually talk about this real quick, because I'm actually kind of curious. Do you still consider yourself a Georgia fan?
I will not be watching the games unless they're nationally televised. So
okay.
I just don't get into it. I just can't. My heart is in Green Bay.
That's fine. So I am making it my personal responsibility to keep you informed about what really happens in college football.
Okay.
Because I am putting my reputation on the line. I said last year Miami was trash. I said Notre Dame was trash. Like, it's very easy to tell which teams are bad in college football, but the media misses it.
Okay.
So I'll have you a weekly report.
Okay, good.
About the true top five teams.
Why, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no. So you don't have to watch a game. I got you.
Fantastic. You know, actually, the Badgers play tonight.
I know. They're playing, I think it's some no-name.
Western Kentucky.
Okay. They are the team 2 years ago that injured five of Alabama's starters in one half. The second half, Saban pulled all the starters, and we won by, like, 20 points. But it's terrifying. It was right before the Iron Bowl.
I remember that game. That was crazy. Yeah. But, all right, dude. Sounds good. Well, let's get back. Let's do our next episode next week sometime, and we'll have a lot of material to talk about, sir.
Oh, yeah. All right. We will see you guys next time.
All right. Sounds good. See ya.